I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Twenty-four hours ago, the polls opened, and now the results. Good morning, Larry Richard, with my Wednesday 7 o'clock guest, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, Rich Fitzgerald. You have been immersed for many years in the process of elections, as well as being a candidate in your own right. And now as Executive Director, you're working with everybody in the 10-county region in the city, and you know the mayor-elect as well as anybody. The 62nd mayor-elect is the Democratic now Mayor Corey O'Connor, and he joins us on the Big K Morning Show. Congratulations, Corey.
Mayor-elect, congratulations. Thanks. Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
I was thinking, and Rich has heard me say this many times, you're a half person from everybody in this town, and so many people knew your father and loved him, his passion for the city. Count me among them. What's it like for you to be in those shoes? And many people projected this would someday happen for you.
Yeah, it's a great question. Last night it hit us a little bit. I think, you know, today we're going to go when the kids wake up. They had a long night. But when they wake up, we're going to go thank everybody with our traditional signs on Forward and Murray. I think the day that'll hit me is probably the swearing in, because that's when it becomes official. But I think, you know, growing up in the household, seeing his passion for Pittsburgh, it rubs off on you. And I think being around people and friends for so many years and learning from them, you know, in our room last night was Congressman Doyle, who Rich knows very well, was my first boss. And it was unique to see all those things kind of come together over the last couple of days.
The one thing I say about it, first of all, again, congratulations, Corey. I know you've been working on this even all summer. You've been preparing, you've been putting a team, you know, together. I know you haven't announced anybody yet, and I'm sure those announcements will be coming. But the one thing I think for your candidacy and your job as mayor that I see is you have the support of many generations. A lot of candidates, and I put myself in that category, probably the older generation was more supportive of people like me and Mike Doyle and Dan Honorato. And then you've got this younger generation that's kind of moved in, and they represent kind of those younger people. You have support in across the spectrum. The older generation, many of which obviously were, I saw those pictures last night, were there when your father was winning 20 years ago, but they now support you, but you also have that next generation as well. So you do have that broad base of support to be able to govern with.
Yeah, and I think that was great. I mean, the way that the campaign shaped together, as you mentioned, we had old friends that showed up last night with the original O'Connor for Mayor t-shirts. But then you had young people that were enthusiastic to vote yesterday. When I went on Pitt's campus, the Pitt Young Dems were out and about at every poll, and they had three volunteers at each one, and their numbers were up from what it was in the past. So we did do a very good job of energizing the youth movement throughout this campaign. And I think also having a four-year-old and a two-year-old, it's very helpful to talk about families and how we want you to grow here and how we get younger people to stay here, because we have the talent. Now it's just up to us to encourage them to stay in Pittsburgh.
We're with Corey O'Connor. And Corey, this doesn't happen unless you have a conversation with your wife. She has to be on board, and obviously she is, and it seems it wouldn't have happened without both of you wanting to do this.
No, Katie has been amazing throughout this process. She wrote the speech last night. She does, as Rich will tell you, it's so much easier to come home to a situation where you're not talking about politics. You're just dad and husband. And without my wife, I couldn't have done this, because that was the first conversation when she said, yes, this is your opportunity, I'm behind you. It makes the job so much easier, because you come home to a situation where everybody's supportive. You know, as Rich will tell you, when you go out in the streets, sometimes not everybody's happy. But when you come home, it's great to have that support system here. The only problem we had yesterday was we got Emmett to the polls with Molly, And I held him up and I asked him in front of the media, who'd you vote for? And his answer was grandma. I probably should have given him more Halloween candy or something. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Corey. Grandma's going to get votes in a young person.
Yeah, nobody's beating grandma no matter what you do.
Get used to that, Corey. That's absolutely going to happen. Well, as a mayor-elect, the other thing, again, I would say back to the generational thing, Pittsburgh is changing, and you represent a lot of that change. Those of us of a certain generation who want to feel like we are represented, and you do. You represent the generation of folks who have been here for many, many years, but you also represent that new emerging Pittsburgh, all those new people that have moved in the last decade for tech jobs and the Google folks and all that. So you really do have your foot in both areas, and I think that's really important because as you govern and as you do the things that everybody's going to ask different things that they want to see, the parks are better, the streets are better, public safety, et cetera, you kind of have a good sense of where that needs to go.
Yeah, and I think that's where we have to project. I know, you know, the NFL draft's going to be here before we know it. That gives us 50 million eyes on Pittsburgh that week. So we have to talk about that. Talk about how you can raise your family here and stay here and the opportunities that we have. We have arts, we have culture, we have great neighborhoods. And I think that's our prime opportunity to talk about the new Pittsburgh and what we've seen the changes over decades. It's now a reality. So how do we project that? And I think we're in a great space to do that right now.
What's important, I think, is the experience you have on council as a young person in the city for a long time, and then as the Allegheny County Comptroller, which is really the watchdog for the financial part of what's going on. So we're counting on you to figure out that, you know, equation for a budget and running the city moving forward.
Yeah, I think that helps us to, as was stated earlier, come right out, announce our team, be prepared. You know, we did get a text from Mayor Ganey last night who reached out to say, hey, I want to welcome your team into the office, look at the budget. So I think that's great leadership on his part so that we can really get a grasp of what's happening and what the projections actually are for the next couple of years so that we can budget accordingly and we can make cuts where needed so that we could save taxpayers money, but also have the emphasis on economic development. I think for too long, we've forgotten that we do have great companies here that need to expand, but we also haven't had somebody that's going to go out and sell Pittsburgh and call 10 companies from across the country and say, hey, how can I entice you to come to Pittsburgh? And I think that's got to be the role of you know, our office and my job as well.
And I watched you actually do that a month or so ago when you were at the AI Horizons talking about how important the data center and the AI industry is. And not all of that will have their footprint necessarily within the city limits, but a lot of the people that will work in that industry will live in the city limits. And I think Larry makes a great point. You know, you having the county controller seat for the last few years, understand the importance of how the city and the county kind of all need to work together on, you know, whether it be economic development issues or transportation or infrastructure issues. And I think that background of what Larry just laid out really puts us in a good position in this region.
It does. And, you know, knowing that, you know, AI is the next big boom and we've invested billions of dollars from the state and Governor Shapiro, you know, I think that's very helpful that's going to be an industry and we have the talent to do so. Now it's our job to sell that we have space. So you're right. A lot of those centers aren't even going to be near the city of Pittsburgh. But why can't headquarters be here and fill up our space, the vacant space that we have downtown? And that's got to be a big push for all of us because everybody knows that the talent is here. Now it's our job to sell that the talent is here and to keep the talent here.
Corey, congratulations again. We hope to talk to you many times in the future. All the best to you, your wife, Katie, your kids, and all of your supporters.
Congratulations.
All right, thank you, guys.
Mayor-elect.
Thanks again.
Hit the ground running. You're ready to go.
You later.
As I said to your dad 20 years ago, good luck. We're all counting on you.
20 years, yeah. Thank you, guys.
counting on him. You're right, Larry. That's a good way to say it. We all are.
All right, that's Corey O'Connor, Mayor-elect, City of Pittsburgh. This is the Big K Morning Show. Rich Fitzgerald in studio, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. I know, Rich, they have talked about it for many years now, the airport. Every week I ask you, where are we?
We're getting close.
I'm curious, is the federal government shutdown affecting our local air traffic controllers and TSA agents? Certainly doesn't seem like it compared to a lot of other places.
It could at some point. I don't think at this point it really is, not like the New Yorks and the DCs and some of the other bigger, more crowded airports. But, you know, in my sense is possibly yesterday's election results might have a little something to do with, hopefully, cooler heads prevailing now and the shutdown maybe coming to an end. I think the last thing they want to have is a shutdown in place when the Thanksgiving travel season really begins in the next couple of weeks.
Apparently, the last time, and now this is the longest shutdown, 36 days, 35, 2018, it was the travel issue that many believed helped both sides figure out a way to open the government up.
That's exactly right. And I think you may see the same thing. And even hopefully, you know, more locally, the statewide budget impasse that has happened, you know, we're starting to hear that maybe that's getting near the end, and maybe some cooler heads are prevailing, and maybe we'll hear something in the next few days.
Talked to Senator Wayne Fontana on Monday, obviously asked him that question, and he seemed to think, and you know, he's a straight shooter.
Wayne's right. Yes, absolutely. Straight shooter.
You know, I believe he's 73 years old. He's been there, done that. He's not playing games. He tells you what he thinks. I appreciate the honesty. And he did believe that there was some movement. So, well, hopefully we'll hear something soon.
Yeah. And again, sometimes elections have a way of doing those type of things. You know, people were saying, well, who's to blame? Who's to blame? Well, I think yesterday the American people made their decision as who they thought was to blame for the shutdown. And, you know, so we'll see what happens.
And positioning and posturing prior to the elections, now we don't have that in this moment since the election is done.
You don't. And I think, again, you go back just a couple of weeks, and after the president was declaring victory in the Middle East with Israel and Hamas and putting that together, you know, he was riding very, very high. And it's amazing how quickly things change or things turn, or people might be mad about whatever it might be. But these midterm elections sometimes, and they go both ways. We've seen it when, you know, whether it was Biden or Obama that were in office, and the Republicans had a wave election and they won many, many seats. And certainly in this era, you know, we've seen it go the other way. So it'll be interesting as the Republicans try to look at the results and say, what are we going to do next year? Because next year is obviously when the whole Congress is up for reelection,
right?
And the gerrymandering and all the various things that are going on, we'll see what happens.
And coming up, we're going to find out what it's like to run for an office, a seat as a judge. I always was curious about that judges were elected just in general, as opposed to appointed, which is better. Many would say election, because there's not the political attachment to one person who can appoint judges, and when one party's in, all their people are in, and we see that at different levels.
And how do you run for judge? I mean, do you run for judge the way you run for mayor or city council or state rep, or do you run as a partisan? Do you as a party member? How does that happen? So we're gonna learn from somebody who went through that experience and was very successful yesterday.
For retention, I noticed locally, just curious, because we know Dwayne Woodruff as a Super Bowl champion, but he's been a...
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Judge for a long time. His retention, 90%. Maybe in part because the Steelers had a good game Sunday. Well,
many of us would have a difficult time winning that in our own homes, a 90% vote.
Amen. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, powered by Bowser Genesis in Monroeville, back to Ellen Gamble.
Thanks, gentlemen. We have an accident for you if you're trying to come out of the South Hills by way of Banksville Road or Beverly Road, Cochran Roads. Do watch out on Banksville at the intersection with McMonagle and Dormont Avenue. There's an accident there as you're trying to head toward the Parkway West. You then have heavy traffic approaching Crane, and then you get to the merge point with the inbound Parkway West, which, by the way, backs to the top of Green Tree Hill. Construction zone lane restrictions in the South Hills making 51 northbound a nightmare this morning. You're backing heavily into Brentwood as you approach Route 88 because of restrictions up by Noble Street. And then after that, you have slow-go traffic approaching the Liberty Tunnels. Parkway East is at Wilkinsburg. Our next AAA traffic on the fives at 7:35. I'm Ellen.
Larry Richard with Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, including 10 counties and the city of Pittsburgh. Post-election talk, in this case, we just spoke to Mayor-elect of the city of Pittsburgh, Corey O'Connor, and we have another winner with us.
We do, and this person is a name that's probably the last name might be familiar. We were talking about the generational change earlier with Corey O'Connor and coming, you know, his dad, Bob O'Connor, Mayor O'Connor. And now we're going to talk to a new judge, Judge-elect Jamie Hickton, who won yesterday. And that name might be familiar because two generations ago, her grandfather was the district attorney of Allegheny County. And then for about 8 years, her uncle, David, was the U.S. attorney for Western Pennsylvania District. And now Jamie Hickton wins for Common Pleas Court yesterday. But that wasn't what I wanted to talk about. Jamie, I want you to tell people, how do you run for office? I always say everybody should run at least once for something. School board, supervisor, township supervisor. We have 538 municipalities in our 10-county region. You could, wherever you live, you could run. How did Jamie Hickton decide to run for judge? And then what did you do over this last, I don't know how many months, year, that you did this? First of all, congratulations.
Thank you guys so much, and I really appreciate you inviting me to talk about this because it's an incredibly important discussion that I think everyone should, you know, should be familiar with. I made this decision a couple of years ago, and you know, I have been working in this system for a really long time now, and I've worn, as I said on the campaign trail, I've worn every hat within it. And you know, for me, it's, I made the decision because I think that we need more regular people who understand what, you know, everyday individuals in Allegheny County experience. We need those people to rise and become the person who makes decisions about the rest of these people's lives.
So how that's really what my... I'm going to interrupt for just 1 second. You make this a couple of years ago. Do you make it by yourself? Do you got to talk to your spouse, your kids, your family? How does that early on process even happen?
Oh, no, this is not a decision that you can make on your own because it does consume your entire life. I'm very lucky that I have an incredibly supportive family. And so I spoke with my wife. I spoke with my dad, my mom, my uncle, you know, pretty much everyone in my family, because I knew that if I was going to make this decision, it was going to also affect their lives. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, I wasn't making the decision solely for myself and that I actually had deep family support to be able to, you know, win.
And what was it that in particular, I mean, as an attorney, you obviously, as you said, you wore many hats and experienced. What was it that triggered you to really want to take this role as a judge at the Court of Common Pleas here in Allegheny County?
So I think it really started when I first graduated law school and became an attorney. I worked for a Common Pleas judge in Westmoreland County, Judge Megan Billick DeFazio, and I was her first law clerk after she won. And seeing how much of an impact the court, the judge, can have on people's lives, it really impacted me. Even though I had been a juvenile probation officer for 7 years before that point, and I was often in court, I didn't see behind the curtain, and I didn't really have an appreciation for how much goes into being a really good judge. And Judge Billick DeFazio really demonstrated that for me, and that was sort of when I first got the idea. You know, I'm a compassionate person who really cares about helping people. Maybe this should be my plan and my path.
Now, when you decide to run, you talk to your family and everybody's going to support what you're going to do. Then what do? You just buy some signs and put them around? I mean, do you start visiting people? What is the process in which you say, I am candidate for Common Pleas Court and vote for me? Where do you begin that process?
So I think the first thing that every person, and I agree with you, everyone should run, or everyone should put themselves out there to do something greater for the people in their community. But I think every person who wants to be a candidate has to really understand their why. they have to make a concerted effort to figure out, like, why do I want to do this? What is going to be my platform? Why are people going to support me? Like, what is it about me that makes me unique that will make people want to support me? And so for me, you know, because I had been in public service my whole career, I've never been a politician. So a lot of people didn't know me. So I made a very concerted effort to try to introduce myself to so many people. I was involved in a lot of community organizing efforts surrounding, you know, some of the important issues of today. And I just did everything I could to, you know, understand what this was going to look like, understand who I was as a candidate, and then to introduce myself to literally anyone who would sit down and have coffee with me.
Well, congratulations again. Appreciate the time. Let Uncle David know we said hello. I know him very well. I think he told me it's folks once performed on KDK Radio back in the day. So there's always this incredible connection with everything in Pittsburgh.
Well, it's been this family has really been public servants for, again, generations, and now the next generation taking over and winning a 10-year term, and you'll be putting that robe on in the coming weeks. And congratulations, we're proud of. I'm proud to know you. I'm proud to know your family, and we're glad you're going to be in that seat.
Thank you guys so much. I'm so honored that the voters gave me this opportunity, and I'm going to work tirelessly every day to not let Allegheny County down.
Congratulations, Judge-elect Hickton.
Two guys in a truck last night in Louisville.
Bro, no, hold on. I think it's going to crash, bro. Holy Cam, they're dead. They are dead, bro.
Tragic. And now, in the technological age we live in, they had multiple videos of the jet taking off and then shortly thereafter crashing.
Well, I just saw a video, gentlemen, not long ago, just a few minutes ago, from the airfield where it appears one of the engines had fallen off the aircraft before the crash.
I didn't see that. Yep. I just saw the flames on the runway on takeoff.
Yep. So at least we know some of what happened. UPS MD-11, and they shut the airport down. They're reopening it this morning. On the south side.
It's a very special night for O'Connor and his family. He will hold the position once held by his father, the late Bob O'Connor.
Yeah, we talked to Corey this hour, and generational, as you pointed out, Rich, a new generation running the county and the city.
Yeah, you see that, and we, you know, even the judges, you're starting to see, you know, some of the next generation, you know, taking over, and we sort of see that even culturally and even economically in this town. It is a new generation of some of these new companies, these new, you know, organizations, and it's the natural timing of things.
Yeah, what Rich is delicately trying to say is we're getting older, Paul.
Well, I had that sinking feeling.
I'll point at myself, Paul, not you. You're young guys like you. You're taking over still.
Oh, nice.
Oh, you're too kind. Hey, Mike Tomlin was quotable again, guys, during his weekly media briefing.
Here we go.
Here's the coach's answer to a question about the Steelers receivers.
You know, I think it's been a steady improvement in terms of their quality of play, particularly Roman of late, other than that boneheaded lack of ball security.
For those that don't know, Roman Wilson was targeted, made a catch, and he tried to leap over one of the Colts, and he fumbled, and that's what the coach is referring to.
So is he the wine or the grapes?
The last real good quote was, a fine line between drinking wine and smashing grapes.
And then we have this nice piece of news. Pitt is now ranked 24th in the season's first college football playoff rankings.
And a real opportunity over these next couple of games when they're really, you know, starting to play the Notre Dames and the Miamis. It's Georgia Tech's going to be interesting.
If they can win all three. Now, Notre Dame is in a conference game, so they could actually afford to get into the playoffs, though. They're going to win all three. But they're there. They're in the conversation.
They're in the conversation. Congratulations.
All right. Thank you, Paul. And Rich, thank you. Coming up, we're going to talk to, as you know, the robotics Network and Discovery Day is going on today, so we're going to tune into that and see what's going on down at the convention center.
That is always an exciting day, and Jen Epicella and her team, the Pittsburgh Robotics Network, I think this is the fourth year they've been doing that. I will be down there both this morning and this afternoon in between some other things I have to do. But it's wonderful. And you see, again, generational. You see all these young people, and I'm talking 12, 13, 14-year-olds who really are learning this new technology. I call it new technology, but it's exciting to see.
As I shared with you, I thought of you in San Francisco. We tried one of those driverless cars called Waymo, brand new Jaguar, and it was an unbelievable experience. You should check out our social media. We posted it, and Rich.
And you and PJ are here to talk about it, right? You survived.
I was very apprehensive initially, but once we got rolling, I was obeying all the, you know, traffic, speed, signs, using its signals. I'm like, wow. And there were bicyclists in the street. There were people walking, and I got real comfortable real fast. I'd do it again.
Yeah. No, I think it's obviously this change is going, when it happens, ultimately, think about all the job displacement, safety, you know, insurance rates, et cetera, big change is coming.
All right, Rich, thanks. We'll see you next Wednesday.
See you next week.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.